H A G link V K 3 H A G link connected.
Fate Network. Link active.
I'm closing the emergency MPEV right now, and then I'm going to be moving to the nose forward hatch to close that MPEV.
Copy that, thanks.
Houston, copy, they concurred. Houston and Discovery on the big loop, the MPEV and lab forward MPEV are closed, step 19 complete.
Copy that station, step 19.3 is complete. We're going on to step 20.
Houston, copy, 19 complete. Roger, mass, and the crew lock pressure is just about 400 now. You guys can see that on the ground, can't you?
Affirmative, John, that's what we see.
Okay.
Houston, Discovery on the big loop, we're going down to close the ODS hatch.
Discovery, copy, concur.
Discovery Station, Houston on the big loop, nice work. We've enjoyed following you along, and what we're planning to do now is continue with the ISS portion on Space to Ground 2, and shuttle can go to air to ground 2. We're going to stop the big loop integrated procedure at this point.
Station Roger.
Discovery, Houston, if someone is available in the flight deck for some IMU work.
Houston, go ahead on IMU.
Arlene, thank you. We have a Star of Opportunity moment, two good stars, and we'd like to take this opportunity to clean up some errors in the IMUs. That's Orbit Ops 7-6. The stars are stars 85 and 106. You could select those stars and do an item 16 to align IMU-1 and IMU-2.
Stars 85 and 106. To align IMUs 1 and 2.
Good copy.
Houston, Discovery for GMC, that's, I haven't seen that one before. The item 18 and 19 won't stay.
Stand by, Ali. Discovery for GNC.
Discovery here, go ahead.
Eileen, GNC's telling me that the reason this is doing that is because there are two stars toggling in and out. To stop that, you need to do a terminal 22, item 9, and then reselect the stars 2 and 3, and then move on.
Okay, Houston, that's complete. The term idle and the 18 and 19. And Houston, if you have the numbers on set 21, we'll do the item 16.
Aline, have a go. Discovery Houston for depress.
Go ahead.
Aline, when you get confirmation from your crew that the ODS upper hatch has been closed, we are ready to continue depress to 10.2 as per step 10, 21,
3.125. Okay, just got confirmation that the hatch is closed, steps 4 and 5. Actually, step 20 is complete, and we'll move on to step 21.
We'll follow along.
Thank you, so we're taking the airlock depress valve to 5 to start the depress to 10.2.
Eileen, we copy and concur. And Eileen, if you have a second, on spec 21, we have a good alignment with the IMU. We can deselect and resume.
That's work.
Houston Discovery on air to ground 2 for transfer.
Wendy, we are ready for transfer, but we'll be ready actually in about 2.5 minutes because we're going into a handover, and that will give time for Chris to come and sit on console with me. So stand by, I'll call you right back after handover.
V-A-3-H-A-G link.
The guys can come off the mast in about 5 minutes, and Eileen wants to get okay for that, so that'll probably be our first discussion when you come back.
Okay. Sounds Discovery, Houston, for deep breath.
Houston, go ahead and deep breath.
Eileen, we, with the current pressure, we see us at the upper end of the zone, and we can now stop the auto deep breath. And by the way, our EVA crew members are well within an hour of pre-breach, so they can also get off the mask at this point.
Okay, we see it's at 10.4, and we're closing the airlock depress valve, and we'll have the guys come off the mask.
Good job.
You are currently connected to the Echolink Network. O-R-L-A-N-G-O.
Conference.
Node number 7075.
Discover Houston. With an action on 811.
Right, go ahead, Houston.
Wendy, on 811, we need cryo, O2, tank 4, heater, alpha, to off, OFS.
to Houston.
That caused a mess. We are seeing some distress on the tank.
Copy that.
Patrol Houston with a good vantage point of the payload bay of the Space Shuttle Discovery from the very end of the Space Shuttle's robotic arm and its 50-foot long orbiter boom sensor system extension. This view coming to us through the intensified television camera that is mated with the two laser scanners on the very end of the orbiter boom sensor system.
Hello, Wendy. Yes, I'm ready to take the call when you're ready.
VK3HAG Link.
From flight bay 3 and 4, transfer from the mid-deck and the MTLM. I will start with the mid-deck numbers first. Items I got transferred are number 7, 8, 12, 13, 16, 19, 21, 22, 31, 32, 38, and 39.
Okay, I copy so far.
Yeah, one return item for the mid-deck. I did the ALSP drug pack swap, so 701 on the return list has been stowed in MA16N. And the MPLN ingress list, basically we just transferred in the TFE and TDO items 100 and 101. We did borrow some bungees from station, so we've got our bungee jail set up. And I think we're pretty well equipped. The other items we didn't bring in, we'll get the K-bars later if we need them.
And I copy, Wendy. I think that sounds good. You can grab the K-bars when you need them.
Yeah, it remains to be seen if we get that far in our ability to do stuff. And on the transfer resupply list, we did get all the EV-8 items, and I'll read the numbers of the stuff that got transferred out of the MPLM today. 111, 118, 125,
126,
129, 160, 160.1, and 169.
Excellent, that's what we were hoping to hear.
And unfortunately, that's about all we've been able to do in the world of transfers. Not as much off the mid-deck as I wanted, but it was just not going to happen today, given our mid-deck config.
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, this looks good for mid-deck, and we will have a updated list for you tomorrow that reflects all the items complete and some of the few updates, minor updates that we had yesterday. So hopefully you incorporated everything and it wasn't too time-consuming.
I'll talk to you about that when I get back during the debrief. It is time-consuming to print out up here because of the way to see the computers and printers, but I got everything out. I printed off everything I wanted to, and I think we're in a configuration where we can carry out the plan that we talked about during training.
Okay, good deal. We'll wait to hear your comments when you get back, and have a good time transferring tomorrow.
Yeah, I did talk to Sergey and John and reiterated what the big picture plan is. In the morning, once they get done with arm flying and Charlie gets over there, the plan is to move everything out of the FCP into the bungees, and Sergey had a big smile on his face when I said that.
I bet he did, probably ear to ear.
Yep, so hopefully the list will be longer tomorrow. I think it will be.
Hey, that sounds good. I don't have anything further for you. I do have one question. John did mention that he put caller information into IMS, so we will check that out. But if we need barcodes, we'll let you know. But I'm pretty sure we covered all of that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That item did not get stowed in the node and a half CTB. It ended up going into the airlock somewhere in the crew lock, and John entered it in the IMS. So if you want the Missy collars to end up in a half CTB in the node, then let me know, and we'll back out from where they're currently stowed.
Okay, we'll let you know. The only reason we wanted those in a half CTB in the node was to put the clamps with them after the EVA. So if he thinks he can put clamps into that bag that the collars are in, I think that's fine.
And I'm not sure the collars got entered into a half bag.
So I understood you to say that the collars are in that half CTB in the airlock.
I need to ask John how he exactly stowed the collars. I needed that with him, and I'm not sure that he put them in a bag, but I'll find that out tomorrow.
And that's okay. We can check IMS also.
Stand by. Andy's got some late breaking news. Okay, the Missy collars are in CTB 1161.
And I copy. Thank you.
Okay, I think that's all we have.
Okay, well then I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
This is Mission Control Houston. As we look at the views of the Pacific Ocean, 220 miles below the shuttle station complex, that was Christy Duplishin, the transfer SAR here in Mission Control, having a conference with Wendy Lawrence on board Discovery, making sure that everybody knows what items are where, as they plan to transfer about 15 tons worth of supplies, either inside or outside the Space Shuttle Discovery over to the International Space Station, commenced today. The multipurpose logistics module Raffaello was moved over to its common berthing mechanism port on the Unity module earlier this morning. Space Station's robotic arm was used to grapple Raffaello at about 12:57 a.m. this morning. At 2:09 a.m., the robotics officer reported that Raffaello had been unberthed. By 3:05 a.m. Central Time, the module was installed on its common berthing mechanism, and crew members inside the space station were in the process of configuring the vestibule between the station's Unity module and the multipurpose logistics module so that they could ingress and open up the hatch to Raffaello. That the hatch opening occurred at 10:10 a.m. Central Time. After that, Jim Kelly, the pilot on board Discovery, and Charlie Camarda, one of the mission specialists, moved on to some focused inspections using the orbiter boom sensor system, taking a close look at some areas of interest to the engineers and imagery scientists on the ground who have been looking through the photographs from the rendezvous pitch maneuver that occurred yesterday just prior to Discovery's docking with the International Space Station. Those pictures taken by Space Station Commander Sergei Krikalov and Flight Engineer John Phillips says Discovery was about 600 feet away and directly below the International Station's visitor service module windows, where they trained digital still cameras on Discovery as it did that backward flip at a slow, careful rate before they continued on with the docking. The photos of analyzed preliminary nature by the imagery experts and engineers on the ground who have pointed out several areas of interest on the exterior of Discovery that they want to take a closer look at. And Kelly and Chela Kamara used the robotic arm on Discovery to extend the orbital boom system below Discovery so that they could take close-up scans using the laser camera system or the laser dynamic range imaging system of those specific areas. About 6 points were imaged during that focus study time period. Scientists and engineers on the ground are now looking at those laser scans and the data that was downlinked, and we'll be looking at whether or not we want to do any additional focused inspections later on in the mission. There is an opportunity tomorrow after work with the boom is completed in Discovery's payload bay. There's a plan to do some scans of pre-damaged RCC panels that are in the pallet that will be used by spacewalker Steve Robinson and Soichi Noguchi to practice a couple of different tile and RCC repair techniques. After those are done, the robotic arm operators will move the arm into position to do some scans of the damaged and repaired reinforced carbon-carbon panels. And after that's done, the arm will be free to move over and perhaps do some additional scans underneath the shuttle at additional areas of interest.
VAG Link.
Members have completed their pure oxygen pre-breathe using oxygen masks on board the Discovery now that the hatches between the station and shuttle have been closed. That being completed such that the pressure on board the shuttle can be lowered on down to the 10.2 pounds per square inch level. That is needed so that the two spacewalkers can maintain and be able to enter into their spacesuits, which have a still lower pressure level of about 4.0 pounds per square inch. These pre-breathing activities and the partial depressurization of Discovery intended to remove bubbles from the EV crew members' bloodstream such that they will not suffer from the bends during their spacewalk at the lower pressure of the spacesuit.
Eileen, if you have it open, Delta, is that the flight note said that, sorry, that you shouldn't perform step 5. We'd like you to perform all steps. Also, since you're going to be doing a SM checkpoint initiate in step 3 of cabin config, there'll be no need to repeat that during pre-step. And lastly, GPS says that there is a spec 6 and disregard. So that's all. Eileen, perform step 5 and no SM checkpoint initiate required during pre-step.
I can copy that. We'll do 10.27 maintenance, 7 config. We will do all the steps, including step 5, during the airlock resets, and then we won't need to do them again in pre-sleep.
Copy, and when you have somebody available, we have a pre-sleep cryo config. We're standing by for that.
Gradually.
Vickers, panel A15, cryo tanks 5, eaters, O2H2, Alpha Bravo 4, switches off.
Complete.
On panel A11, we're going to turn the tank 4 heaters off, 1 for H2. So that's cryo, tank 4, heaters H2, Alpha and Bravo 2 switches to off, OFF.
Complete.
Resets on R1.
Good.
Cryo, O2H2. Tank 1, heaters, Alpha and Bravo, 4 switches to auto.
Complete.
Cryo O2H2, tank 2, heaters, Alpha and Bravo, 4 switches to off, OFF.
Complete.
And please close manifold valve tank 1, 2 switches to close, talk back close.
Complete.
And that completes cryo config. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And, Houston on the 10.27 config.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just pulled the procedure out. I think I read something down to you wrong, but first I got a question on the step number 1 and 2. Are you going to timber up the appropriate software limits? And what I meant to call down was the checkpoint initiate, not the airlock reset. We'll do the checkpoint initiate only once tonight.
Eileen, we'll take care of all the software timbus, and we understood what you meant with step 3.
Okay, we're going to start the 10.27 config now.
Mission Control Houston, spacecraft communicator Gilles Payette here in the Space Shuttle Flight Control Room in Houston, discussing with the crew on board Discovery some actions that need to be taken before bedtime. Sleep for the crew scheduled to begin officially in 1 hour and 18 minutes. Currently, the shuttle station complex orbiting about 220 miles above the surface of the planet over the Pacific Northwest. This orbit is currently on a northeasterly track, but as it gets over the southern portion of Hudson Bay, it'll begin a southeasterly track that'll take it over the Straits of St. Lawrence and then down of the Atlantic toward the far western coast of northern Africa. The television pictures once again coming to us through the high-intensity television camera at the very end of the orbiter boom sensor system that is associated with the two laser scanning instruments at the same location. Earlier today, the arm operators placed the shuttle robotic arm and its boom in this position, such that it can view the control moment gyroscopes that will be involved in the second spacewalk on flight day 7 of this mission to remove and replace one of those control moment gyroscopes. In addition, in tomorrow's spacewalk, crew members will swap around some wires in an effort to bypass a failed fuse or circuit breaker that is preventing electricity from getting to another of the control moment gyroscopes that is healthy but unable to function because it doesn't have power. There's control moment gyroscopes located on the Z1 truss structure just above the Unity control module. Again, the two EVA crew members, Steve Robinson and Suichi Noguchi, went through some checkouts and preparation of their tools and equipment again today and getting the last bits of equipment out of the multi-purpose logistics module that was brought up aboard Discovery and then attached to its common berthing mechanism port on the Unity module today. Some of those items are being stowed in the space station airlock on this Quest. Suichi Noguchi, one of his first actions in tomorrow's EVA will be to go open the outer hatch of the crew lock for that airlock so that they have both an emergency entrance point and so they can gain access to the global positioning system antenna that's going to be installing on tomorrow's spacewalk. Preparation, the two spacewalkers donned oxygen masks and breathed pure oxygen for a little bit more than an hour to purge nitrogen bubbles from their bloodstreams and prevent them from getting the bends when they're in the still lower pressure of the spacesuits, which are 4.0 pounds per square inch. The Space Shuttle Discovery's cabin is being depressurized partially to 10.2 pounds per square inch to help maintain that condition for the spacewalkers. This was a procedure that was a modified depressurization procedure that uses the pumps on the International Space Station to essentially suck air from the shuttle as it depressurizes the shuttle, thereby saving the gases on board the International Space Station. Those pumps pull the pressure inside Discovery down to 12.25 pounds per square inch, and then the shuttle pumps were used to take it on down the rest of the way to 10.2 pounds per square inch. In preparation for that partial depressurization, the hatches were closed between the International Space Station and the Space Shuttle about 11:44 a.m. Central Time today. And at 12:44 a.m. Central Time, the hatch to the orbiter docking systems was closed, allowing the crew to proceed onto that 10.2 pounds per square inch level. Also for that depressurization activity, the space station's navigation systems were placed in free drift, such that the station was no longer controlling the stack's orientation relative to the Earth, and the shuttle's reaction control systems were brought into play to maintain the stack's orientation. This current orientation is with the space station at the front of the train heading in the direction of travel, with the space shuttle trailing. This attitude designed prior to the mission to help protect the shuttle's thermal protection systems from potential hits by space debris or orbital micrometeoroids. These current downlink televisions used coming to us from the space station's robotic arm cameras looking past the payload bay. Very midpoint of the payload bay, you can see the external stowage platform number 2 that will be installed into the side of the Quest airlock module, part of that being installed on the first spacewalk of the mission tomorrow. Back of the payload bay, just before the aft bulkhead, you can see the panel that holds the control moment gyroscope that will be the replacement for the failed one on the International Space Station on the second spacewalk of the mission, and also the Tylon reinforced carbon-carbon test panels that will be used for the first part of tomorrow's spacewalk to test out the emittance wash applicators and the crack repair material that will be used on broken tiles and damaged reinforced carbon-carbon panels, respectively.
Discovery Houston, ISS is ready to begin controlling the stack. You can go free on the deck.
Hey, Houston, understand we're ISS is controlling and we're going to free on the deck.
Free to control, you can go free on the deck at this time.
Be connected to the Echolink Network. F L O R I. D A
conference
node number 1842.
Sweet time of 0500, and since we have the EVA tomorrow and we had a long day today, we were thinking of trying to go lights out at 4:30. Wanted to check that with you. We could do the 2MC at any time and try to get the pre-sleep activities done early.
A very good plan, and we'll accommodate that, no problem. Let us set up the network, and we'll call you back when we're ready for the PMC.
Roger that.
Discovery Houston, Eileen, we are ready on the ground, and the next voice you'll hear on Air Ground 2 will be that of Surgeon. And once you're completed your PMC, if you don't mind calling us back, we'll wrap up a few things with you, and the summary timeline has been printed on board, and you can...
Okay, roger that. Understand the summary timeline. We'll take a look at it, and we'll be waiting for the
GMP. This is Mission Control Houston. Commander Eileen Collins on board Discovery reporting that she and the crew are thinking about knocking off work about half an hour earlier. Actually, they are in their pre-sleep activities already, but she said she'd like to make it such that they had lights out at about half an hour from now, which is about a half an hour earlier than had originally been scheduled. Colonel Sakachi and the team here in Mission Control agreed that was a good plan, and Julie Payette also uplinked that to Eileen Collins. So maybe a few last-minute calls here to make sure everything's configured properly on board Discovery for the sleep shift, now that the hatches between the two vehicles have been closed. In addition, the International Space Station is back in control of the orbiting complex's attitude following the successful partial decompression of Discovery down to 10.2 pounds per square inch in support of tomorrow's spacewalk by Suichi Noguchi and Steve Robinson.
And it looks beautiful. Hey, that's fantastic news. We're certainly looking forward to seeing it on the other side of the hatch.
VHAG link.
Start hanging big snarls of wire on the outside of it so it'll fit right in. Well, we hear you're pretty good with big snarls of wire, so we have good confidence about that taking place.
Okay, thanks.
This is Mr. Cole Houston. This is a view of the International Space Station Flight Control Room here in Houston, where the off-going Orbit One team of International Space Station flight controllers is preparing to sign off for the day. Lead flight director for this increment, Mark Faring, in a dark blue shirt on the right side of your screen, is bidding good night to his team and telling them it's time to get ready for a very busy day of spacewalk operations tomorrow. Congratulating the team on all their work today to move the Raffaello module over into position so that all the supplies and equipment inside can be delivered to the International Space Station, and also on completing the hatch closure between the station and the shuttle so that the shuttle could depressurize partially and prepare for the spacewalk tomorrow. The fairing's right is Joel Montalbano, who is the oncoming flight director for the
VK3HAG link.
Space station systems functioning well. Brief anomaly noticed today on the space station that one of the control moment gyroscopes showed some slightly unusual readings. However, those are within the level of understanding of the space station flight control team, and so no action was required. The attitude determination and control officer in the space station flight control room taking special notice and watching those vibrations on the control moment gyro. Again, one of the key jobs for the Discovery crew is to replace one of the control moment gyroscopes that has been failed for a couple of years now, and to do a cable swap that will allow power to bypass a fuse box or breaker switch that is keeping power from getting to another of the control moment gyroscopes. The goal is to have all four of these control moment gyroscopes, which provide orientation control for the space station through electrical means rather than using finite sources of propellants on the Russian segment of the station, are back up in order at the end of the mission. Right now, the orbiting complex, 220 miles above the Cape of Good Hope, the southern tip of Africa, completing a southeasterly track over the Atlantic, heading out over the Indian Ocean. They'll soon turn northeasterly and cross over the midsection of Australia on the way toward another landfall over the North American continent. Meanwhile, on board Discovery, the crew led by Commander Eileen Collins is about to begin its sleep shift about half hour earlier than had been planned originally. The crew pretty tired after two very busy days, yesterday's rendezvous and docking with the shuttle and today's activities with scanning for damage on the bottom of the orbiter and putting the Raffaello module in place for cargo transfers, taking its toll. And the crew also wanted to just make sure they get a good night's sleep prior to tomorrow's first of three spacewalks.
I'm Lance Summery. Hey, just if you've had a chance to look at them, and we have a few more things to wrap up with you, and then I think we'll be able to let you go to bed early.
You are currently connected to the Echolink Network. O-R-L-A-N-D-O.
Conference.
Node number 7075.
In Zulu Radio waiting, I can let you know that for the LIO changeout this evening, I put in STS-113 cans number 29 and 35.
Wendy, you just got one question out of my list. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Houston Discovery for timeline.
Go ahead, Discovery.
Yeah, Julie, we've got nothing in the printer, and we have not seen tomorrow's summary timeline, we don't think.
Let us check. Discovery Vegas, we checked and we did print it on board, and that's the indication we get on the ground, but it's also in it's also been on the link, so if you want you can click on it, but I can also just walk you through the slight changes and what we're thinking. It's not very long.
Let me see if I can find it for sure. It'd be easier to annotate it on there.
Okay. And while you guys look at and try to find the summary timeline, if someone is available, I have a few action. First one on SST-1 on the flight deck.
Go ahead, Houston.
The flight deck on SST-1, we need, or we would like, OIU-1 off OSF talkback Barbara pole.
Complete.
Copy that. This is in order to conserve some cryo,
And now we're going to command PSP off from the ground, so you can expect a message, BCE bypass PSP-1.
Okay, we'll be looking for it.
Second action is if somebody can launch KFX as a backup on the WECOM machine, that'd be appreciated.
Okay, well, once again, we expect it by WECOM.
I see. And see, while you're at it, on the mid-deck, you can remove the card from the ProShare machine for overnight and downloaded all the data from it.
Okay, thanks.
Steve, if you're still listening while you launch KFX, we had problems doing the mail thing today because there was some outlets that were open, and also we had lots of comm dropouts with the KU. But now, after looking at it a little better, we think that the CDR mailbox might be locked on the world map machine. So you can attempt to just close Outlook on the machine, but if that doesn't work, you may have to reboot the machine completely before sleep.
Are you going to do another sync before sleep here, Ms. Hefner?
Actually, what we'd like, if that's okay with you guys, if the last person that goes to bed makes sure that all the Outlook applications are closed on all the PGSCs, then we'll do another mail sync overnight, and you'll get some fresh mail tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds good, except that we, as you just said, even though we close Outlook, it can still be open and locked. I think the real key in that case is to reboot ProShare. So we'll probably give that a shot and WorldMap.
You're our onboard expert, so you can go ahead with that plan. And Discovery, we're 30 seconds from a five-minute LOS. We'll call you back on the other side to just wrap up on the plan for tomorrow, and hopefully that you can...
Houston, from PGSC, Pentagon 2.
Discovery, Houston, Pentagon 2. Go. Discovery Houston, you are go for error log reset. We are on the big loop.
Very much.
And Houston, KFX is running on the Chug Machine SDS8 instead of WinDCOM, if that's okay with you. Much better reliability on the network.
And Steve, we copy. And Discovery, we have a period of ready come for the next 10 minutes. Air to ground 2 is unusable, but we thought we could wrap up with you on the big loop.
Sounds good. We're ready to wrap it up on the big loop.
Do you have copies of the summary timeline?
Yes, we do.
The few changes, and these are due to the fact that we've extended time for doing some more OBSS survey. If you look at the Vegas column and Charlie's column starting at 13:10, we first have the tile sample box, some smudges on the port wing RCC panel 628, and would like to have a closer look at that. And, we are looking and discussing at whether or not we need to have the SSIRMS walk-off in between those two surveys. So we're still discussing that, but there is a possibility that we'll have to use that time period from 1310 to 1640 and do an SSRMS walk-off at the time, but we're looking at the details, and you should have all that tomorrow morning. That's about it. The rest is just a few changes that we pushed a few things a little later, like the NOAX maneuver, the DCS assembly for Charlie has been pushed a little later due to the survey, and otherwise it'll be as planned.
Can we copy the port wing survey panel 28 and SSRMS walk off sometime in the 1310 to 1640? I'll pass it on to Wendy.
Copy that. The details still being worked, so you will have some more tomorrow. Just a note on today's focused inspection. First, great job on the part of your crew again, Vegas on the arm, and everybody else. This was extremely well executed. We got all the scanning data on the ground, and the data quality is good. Unfortunately, in step point number 3, we couldn't find the gap filler on the scan, so we'll probably have to redo it at some later time during the flight.
Okay, we copy that.
Well, unless you have anything else for us, we think this has been, again, a very good day. Great flying on the part of everybody for the MPLM, the survey. You made it look so easy from down here that it's amazing considering we come up with multiple changes all the time.
And Julie from Vegas, just a quick question on the number three underneath that we didn't get. Is that going to be the only point we have to go back underneath the vehicle for?
And Vegas, the point we need at least so far, but even that is not sure whether or not we're going to go back and look for it because it's a lower priority than other inspection at this time.
Not that, I was just going to throw out the suggestion that since we're already completely set up for it, for Charlie and I to grab it in about, I suspect it would take about 45 minutes in the morning before they start the lab grapple procedure on the other side. We have all the cameras set up and everything we need to do it tomorrow morning. So if we know it's the last one that needs to be done, tomorrow morning before they walk back off is the time to do it. And I think we'd be happy doing it then.
Hey, that's a great suggestion. Thanks for the info. That will give some work to FAO to think over overnight. From us, we're ready to sign off, and we know that everything is in place for tomorrow's EVA, and I just wanted to pass along that the EVA team here is absolutely ecstatic with the work you have been doing so far and are literally ready to go out the door with Steve and Soichi tomorrow. So with that, we bid you good night.
Billy, thanks a lot for your words for spilling time with us.
And Steve, yes, on the big loop we're still on.
Okay, we're looking forward to seeing Cindy and Matt right out there with us.
You bet.
Good night from Discovery.
Good night, Ali.
This is Mission Control Houston as the shuttle station complex orbits 220 miles over Australia. Spacecraft communicator Julie Payette having a final conversation of the evening with the Discovery crew as they prepare to begin their sleep shift just a few minutes early after two very busy days of activities. The crew working dusk to dawn yesterday with the rendezvous and docking to the International Space Station and all the immediate preparations thereafter. These activities in unberthing the Rafaela multipurpose logistics module from the payload bay of Discovery, installing it onto the International Space Station so that the tons of cargo inside can be transferred for use by space station crews, and also conducting special focused inspections of particular areas of interest on the heat protection systems of the shuttle, using the robotic arm of the shuttle and the orbiter boom sensor system, a 50-foot long extension that turns the entire arm into a 100-foot long crane. I think Collins called down a little bit before their sleep period that she'd like to start sleep about half an hour early. Due to some communications coverage dropouts, we ended up cutting that about 10 minutes shorter than had been hoped, but they still got to bed about 20 minutes earlier than had been planned. Meanwhile, on board the International Space Station, just a hatch away, the Expedition 11 crew of Commander Sergei Krikalev and Flight Engineer and Science Officer John Phillips also beginning its sleep shift. Both crews will come together tomorrow to conduct the first spacewalk. Spacewalk's plan, spacewalk designed to test new potential tile repair methods and RCC, reinforced carbon-carbon methods of repair, to install a latching device for an external stowage platform that will be mounted to the exterior of the station's Quest airlock module, install a replacement global positioning system antenna for one that has been malfunctioning on the truss structure of the station, and to route some cables that will allow keep orbital replacement units warm enough in the vacuum and cold of space aboard that external stowage platform. That platform is going to be called upon to hold a variety of different replacement units for equipment on the outside of the space station that is expected to fail periodically as a result of its design lifetime. Handy spares will make it easier for spacewalkers to go out and make repairs to the station as those natural failures occur. Tomorrow's timeline also calls for a lot of transfer activities between the space shuttle and space station. After the hatches open to allow the spacewalkers outside. The crews will be able to reopen the hatches between the shuttle and station. That'll be necessary so that some of the arm operators can move from the shuttle over to the station to support the EVA. Other housekeeping activities and transfer of water, as well as food, water, clothing, and other staples for the crew, also will continue. This is some downlink television from on board the Space Shuttle Discovery, the view of the payload bay from the high position of the orbiter boom and sensor system, completing the focus scans on the bottom of the shuttle. This the robot arm and its 50-foot-long extension were moved into position for viewing of the control moment gyroscopes on the Z1 truss of the space station. This viewing point will allow for some video support of the spacewalkers as, among other activities, they do a cable swap.
Be connected to the EchoLink network. FLORIDA.
Conference.
Node number 1842.
Being electrical attitude control for the orientation of the station.
Do you mind if I just put in the JFX machine that you guys can download during the night?
Hey, Soichi, let me check on the Discovery Houston for Soichi.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey, we understand, Soichi, you have more than one card to download.
Yeah, but doesn't have to do at the same time.
No, but we have a solution for you. If you don't mind doing that, you could copy your card onto Dog Machine FTS-8 under the folder OCA-down/ECS/, and then you can create a subfolder and you can name them as appropriately, and we'll download all of that overnight. You don't have to stay up and change cards.
Yeah, Julie, the problem is there is a bunch of the copies of the file, the text machine, DCS-PCMCIA, and there's not that much hard disk space, so we cannot copy all those files into the hard disk. So once you guys download the file, could you please erase them? Otherwise, we cannot copy the file to the hard disk.
Copy that on the ProShare machine, if I understand, under the /PCMIA subfolder. There's a lot of stuff there, and there's no more memory. However, we're thinking that there is enough memory on the 831P, the Dog Machine F8. Is that not the case? Can you create a PCMCIA folder there?
Okay, it's better now. So I thought if I can just stick the car into the drive, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'll just do it in the tomorrow morning.
Okay. So, Ichi, please, you can put the card in the KFX machine. We'll download that card and... then you can go to bed, because that's... have a good night.
Thank you.